Good evening and welcome. Thanks for joining us tonight. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule, whether you're here in person or whether you're joining us remotely online somewhere. We really appreciate you joining us for our fifth Cultivating Connections Marriage Conference. Our passion and our desire at ACCFS is to help the hurting, nurture hope, and encourage growth. And we especially care deeply about marriages and marriages in the church and just marriages in your life and the impact it has. We know, as we have seen, that healthy marriages lead towards healthy churches, which lead towards healthy mission and outreach and representing the name of Jesus. And it seems like marriages can take a beating. And perhaps even more so in this last year or so, it seems like marriages have been especially vulnerable to taking that beating. My name is Arlen Miller. I work at Apostolic Christian Counseling and Family Services. I'm joined with multiple staff here today and tomorrow morning. And we are going to present to you the topic around the idea of flourish. How do we encourage our marriages no matter what is going on in their lives, no matter what the situation is? How do we encourage our marriages towards flourishing? What does that mean? And how do we consider that and reflect upon that? So we'll walk right through your schedule. All of you should have got a book when you came in there. And if you're watching online from home, there's a link right there on that website, the accounseling.org Marriage Conference 2021 is the website that has all of the handouts, all the booklets, everything you need. All the links to the live session is going to be on that online page there. And we'll walk through the schedule that's on page 2 of your booklet. We're going to have a main session tonight, and then we'll have a few announcements, and we'll break into breakouts, and that will be our evening, and we'll come back together again tomorrow. Several topics we're excited about, new topics we're anxious to get in here with and walk through with you. And most of all, our desire is that you can take some time here. Just pause, reflect, and invest in your marriage. Together as a couple, together with other couples, but let's take some time for the next 12 hours, 14, 15, 16 hours, whatever it is. And let's just really focus in on how do we encourage flourishing in our marriages. Again, thanks for being here. I'm going to ask the elder from this church, Brother Mark Streetmatter, to come up and open us with a prayer, and then I will introduce the first topic right after that.
Likewise, welcome. Glad to have everybody here in Bloomington Church for this wonderful event. Thank you, ACCFS, for the great work. Let's arise and pray together. Father, we do pause a moment here just to first and foremost give thanks and to worship, to lift up the name of Jesus. We are so thankful that in our marriages, in our lives, we can flourish because of what Jesus did for us, his wonderful love for us, Father, in coming to earth and dying and shedding his blood and then indwelling us with the power of the Spirit and the ability to live in the power of the resurrection. So, Father, just thanks for all the blessings. Bless us, each speaker who gets up in front of us, each person who shares in the conversation today. I just pray, Father, give each of us hearts to listen, hearts to learn, and hearts to be changed. Father, as we look into our own hearts, we know our sin and our frailty. We know our need to listen and love more fully, more like Jesus loved. So just help us to use this evening and tomorrow as just a wonderful privilege to be drawn closer to Jesus and closer to our husband and to our wives. Father, just again, bless this entire event that everything that happens here may be grounded in the Word of God, and that we lift up high the name of Jesus. So again, we invite thy presence. Come be in our midst and open our hearts to learn and to grow. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
So our first session tonight, I don't know if you, depending on what schedule you're looking at, you might see a different title for our first session. And there's a story for that. And I love the sharpening that takes place at our place of work there. The original title for this first session was Thriving versus Surviving, kind of drawing the contrast between those. Well, Ted Witzig Jr., my good friend and colleague, is going to be presenting tonight. And as he and I talked about this, and he challenged me a little bit and said, is that the right question to be asking? Thriving versus surviving. And so you see where we kind of went there with the topic. It's a little bit of a different direction here. We're going to focus on flourishing, surviving, or both. And really look forward tonight as Ted brings us some thoughts and some counsel around this. Ted's been an elder for just a few years. He's been a minister for many more years than that. And even longer than that, he's been a psychologist working with couples in many different ways. And so we look forward to having him present tonight.
Thank you. Greetings to each one of you. It's great to be with you tonight. And I hope that as we think about this topic together, that it will be a topic that is both encouraging and challenging. It's meant to be a thought that we go from where we are and just think about where we can grow. It's not about perfection. It's not about being perfected. Number one, we're not. Number two, it's not about the fact that only certain couples have the opportunity to grow. We all have the opportunity to take steps. And my hope and prayer tonight is that this topic will open your own minds to be able to see some places that you can grow. So what we're going to talk about, I'm going to start with, what does it mean to flourish? This word, what does the meaning of this word? And five biblical concepts that surround the concept of flourishing. I'm going to share a model. It uses the acronym PERMA. We're going to talk about what the individual parts of PERMA are. And then we're going to look at how to apply each of those five aspects of PERMA and look at it in individual and couple relationships. So first of all, what is flourishing when you think about what it is and what it isn't? So and if you want to follow along in your booklet, there are some blanks there for you. So what flourishing is, it means to thrive. Okay, it means to it's alive and growing, and it's a state of healthy activity and productivity. So the concept of thriving means that something is living and growing. Okay, what flourishing is not, it's not floundering. Now, I'll say, and every one of us have had times we floundered. Okay, some of us are floundering at this moment, right? But the reality is that, but when you're struggling, you don't feel like you're flourishing a lot of times. It's also not a state of deadness, stagnation, or dormancy. It's important to realize that flourishing doesn't mean that you've arrived. It means you're growing. All right? And that's a big difference, because one is a state that you say, either I've arrived or I've not. And it's kind of this either or state. And what we want to do is see it as a continuum of progression. Flourishing also is not lacking engagement or productivity, meaning it's not disconnection. It's not pulling back. It's not trying. It's not stepping out of being involved. So one of the things we don't want to, here's some things we don't want to confuse with flourishing. First of all, being perfect, like I said. Second is being super spiritual. All right? We have to remember, yes, we're all trying to develop under the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, right? That's what we're after. But don't put yourself in, well, I'm just not a super spiritual giant. I'm never going to flourish. No. That's not where we're going. Another thing is having it all together. It's that feeling of everything is going exactly right. That's not necessary for flourishing. It's not the absence of all problems and struggles. It's not harmony in every relationship. We're going to see that part of flourishing is having healthy relationships. But you know what? The reality is sometimes we have some really good relationships going on, but we also have struggles in places. Now, if 98% of your relationships are all bad and the common denominator that is you, you do need to look at that. That is something that we need to look at. We all have to take a hard look in the mirror sometimes, right? But the reality is not everything is in harmony all the time. And then how about this one? Anybody felt stressed? You know, and of course you have. Of course I have. And so we don't want to confuse flourishing with like this state of like what it's like after you've been on vacation without any responsibilities for a full week. At the end of that week, that's what flourishing is. No, flourishing occurs in real life. So the five biblical concepts related to flourishing. The reason that we call these concepts related to is that they're all things that they kind of have a different, they shine a different kind of light on the topic. So one of those is joy. And the definition that I've put here for joy is hopeful settledness that your welfare is secure beyond your present circumstances. All right. That definition I just love, because that says we love to feel happy. I love the emotion of happiness. You love the emotion of happiness, and it's not wrong to feel happy. But the joy of the believer has something that has bedrock under it, that has a settledness that says, I have hope beyond these circumstances. The promises I cling to are beyond this moment. About 3 weeks ago, Donna and I were on a date. And it was going along great until we were on I-74 and the car went clunk and started to go lose power, and we were on the side of the road, and there happened to be no lights at this part of, and we're right up against a guardrail, and the semis coming by at 75 mile an hour shaking us, you know, and eventually the state police came and a wrecker came, and while we were all standing there, it looked like a drug bust for sure. I'm certain that it did. You know what? The best part about the whole thing is now that we're not in that situation. In that moment, there were things about that moment that were not good and not fun. But you know what? The question for all of us isn't if we're going to have the moments or even periods of time where we struggle. But just imagine what it's like to not have hope. To not have something beyond that. See, we knew that once we started calling people and the wrecker came and the state police came and my brother-in-law came. Now, that was just a temporary thing. It was a car engine. But joy. Another one, fruitfulness. Flourishing is about fruitfulness. Many of the New Testament parables that God talked about were about fruitfulness. He talked about everything from planting seeds and the ones that grew and those that didn't. And we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. So fruitfulness is about, it's about life, abundance, growth, and multiplication. And I love that scripture. I'm sure you do too. It's that scripture that Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it what? Have it more abundantly. Does that mean without bills? Is that what that means to you? Does that mean without, you know, no, it doesn't mean that. It just means that He is with us through. Gratitude and thanksgiving are beautiful topics. We know that they're important topics for us. It's out of awareness of blessing and awareness of feeling and expressing of thankfulness that our hearts really oftentimes praise and are very expressive. It's always interesting. My field, the counseling field, is so interesting because after a whole myriad of studies that they do, and they require, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of research, they'll come out and say, do you know what's excellent for people? One of the best things you can do for people is help them to cultivate thankfulness and appreciation. And you go, wow, that that kind of like sounds like the Psalms. you know, and that's just not how it is. But you know what? You and I are oftentimes only as in tune to Thanksgiving as our intentionality is. We're very, very short-minded that way, aren't we? The next one is shalom. That's a Hebrew word. It's used a bunch in the Old Testament. It means a kind of a combination of things. It means peace, completeness, welfare, health. It's sometimes used as a blessing. It's one of those words that for the believer, it indicates, you know, it's this place that says that we can have this sense of peace that goes beyond, again, circumstances. Now, again, it's wonderful to have it in circumstances. And I'm not, if you're feeling peaceful tonight because your circumstances are good, I'm not down on you. I'm glad for you. But to remember that God's peace is beyond and above. And then last one, reconciliation. That's restored relationships. That's relationships that have experienced health and healing. And God's design is for relationships that are able to live in that manner. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. What a beautiful thing. So the PERMA model. The PERMA model has five components. Positive emotions, engagement, relationships, meaning, and achievement. I want to tell you how the model came about. It comes from a man by the name of Martin Seligman. He's a psychologist. And about, it was in the 90s, he had been studying for all of his career. He had been studying things like depression and hopelessness and things of that nature, as many psychologists do. And in that time period, he decided, I'm not exactly sure how he came to this, but he said, you know what? We've been studying what's wrong with people. Okay? What is it that makes people function well? What is it that causes people to flourish? And so there was a area of study born out of this, and it looks at the study of human flourishing. Now, what he did then is after about 20 years of research, and he wrote a book, and it's gone another 10 years past, he looked at all the research and combined it together and said, what are the key elements in all these hundreds of studies? What is the key elements? And it came down to these five things, PERMA. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at each of those, and then inside of each of those areas, we're going to break that into three things. We're going to look at it in your individual walk, stewarding, okay? Stewarding of yourself, okay? Two, we're going to look at it facilitating. How do you bring that out in your spouse? How do you bring out the best in them? All right? It is without, it's a little bit like needing to teach a child to be selfish. You rarely have to teach a child how to take things for themselves. You have to teach them how to share. Facilitating is about bringing out the best in your spouse. We rarely have to bring out irritation, right? We kind of do that naturally, okay? But we want to facilitate the best. And then last one is joining. How do we do it together? So if you think about it, number one, it's my personal stewardship for myself. Number two, how do I bring it out the best out of my spouse? And number two, how do we do it together? So, each of the slides for these will have a similar format to where we'll look at kind of a definition, and then we'll look at examples of stewarding, facilitation, and joining. Okay, so, first aspect of PERMA, of flourishing, is seeking and pursuing positive emotions through gratitude, forgiveness, hope, and optimism. All right? I want you to think about this. Has anybody ever noticed in this last year that reading news does not breed gratitude, forgiveness, hope, or optimism? Have you noticed that? It's very interesting. The natural state of human conversation rarely is these things. And that's why when you look at this, you go, well, of course, Ted. I mean, of course, everybody knows. You should be optimistic. You should have hope. You should, you know, these are like, duh. I had to come all the way to Bloomington to a talk to hear you say that. I'm telling you this, that what biblical truth says and happens to be confirmed secondarily, it's not as important as biblical truth, but it happens to be confirmed by the research, is that seeking these things out, seeking out gratitude, seeking out hope that's built on real, true hope. Okay? See, because if you put your hope in the wrong things, you're going to end up with the wrong things. Do you really want to put your hope in the tax code? Do you really want to put your optimism in the weather or how COVID's going to go? Do you really? Is that really where you want it to be? Now ask yourself, how much of the last year have things like that been where our emotions are centered? It's easy for us to go there because human beings naturally move to a formula that says, my mood is set by my circumstances. It's the most natural thing in the world, just like breathing. So what positive emotion is in PERMA is intentionally seeking out these things that intentionally bring out the things that bring richness and well-being and flourishing in our emotions. So the first is, in stewarding, this is for your own self, is understand your self-talk. Now, I am not encouraging, and we do not encourage a positive self-talk that's just based on everybody likes me, everybody thinks I'm swell, I'm strong, and, you know, and I'm a good person. Okay? Now, I'm not saying there can't be a little bit of truth in some of those things, but all I'm saying is that what we want to do is we want our self-talk to be reflective of biblical truth. We have some tools on the ACCFS website, some podcasts and other things to help you with self-talk. Because self-talk that goes into the ditch, when you make a mistake or you make an error in something, then it goes, I'll never amount to anything. I'm never good enough. Oh, I think they think that I'm, you know, and I'm not good enough. And also, this kind of self-talk that goes to shame, blame, and all these different kind of things doesn't lead us to a good place. So positive self-talk. Another one is gratitude journaling. One of the things that is very good for us to do is to be reminded of blessings. Gratitude journaling is about writing out, very simply, things that you appreciate, that you're blessed by, and that you have gratitude for. Okay? It's a very simple form of gratitude journaling is every day, just write down 5 things that you're grateful for. Okay? Just very simple. But you know what? What's very interesting is that as you see it, and then you have to stretch your mind to think about it, you start being able to really be thankful for lots of things that we take for granted. One of the best things that happened to me one year was when Donna and I were first married, we lived in a place that had a window air conditioner unit, and in the hottest part of the summer, it died. That air conditioner unit, it was done. And the house was hot. And then we were using fans. We had fans going all over the place, right? Some of you grew up and you didn't have air conditioning at all, right? Well, then, you know what happened? Then they were talking about how the Salvation Army in the town over needed fans for people. You know, I don't think that I would have thought about how important it was to have a fan. All of a sudden, I knew what it was to not have a fan, not have electricity. All of a sudden, my gratefulness meter went bing. Okay? So facilitation. Know what sparks positive emotions in your spouse. All right? Now, I think one of the things that happens is it's very easy for people to think that what this means is you have to find the big things. that you have to find this great big thing to bring a positive. And the answer is no, it is actually the small things. It is in the small things that are able to bring blessing and joy and that smile and that encouragement. Okay? It's great to do something. Think of it this way. Spouses, just think about yourself. Would you rather that your spouse did one nice thing for you a year that was big? Okay? Or do nice things for you all year long? Just think about that for a second. And again, I'm not saying that big thing wouldn't be really nice. But know what it is and then do it. Knowing that it's very common that what we enjoy, the things that kind of are a real blessing to us, aren't the same things that our spouse does sometimes. And then lastly, joining. And when we're talking about joining, we're talking about things that we can do together. And one of the things that I would encourage you to do is laugh together. Okay? It seems really simple, but it is one of those things that being able to have some things that bring smiles and levity, a joyful heart, that cheerful countenance, it's like good medicine, the Bible says. All right? Another one. Express gratitude for each other. What you're doing here is you're thinking about gratitude, right? That's your personal stewardship. And what are you doing? You're expressing it. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. And the other is express hope and confidence in the other person. One of the best things that you can do is show not unrealistic belief, something that's beyond somebody's capability, but really to show your confidence in them, your trust in them, your appreciation of them. It's the kind of things that puts air under our wings. Next one is engagement. Engagement here, this is actually the one that I understand it and I appreciate that it's here. It was the one that I was most surprised about in the model, because it was a little bit different than some of the other ones, that kind of the run-of-the-mill or common things that are out there. But engagement is being able to be in the present moment and enjoy activities for their own sake. One of the things that we find is that our minds are always moving. And you know what? One of the problems that we have a lot of times is that we're supposed to be present with people, but our bodies are, but our minds are not. Ever notice that? It sometimes happens at the Witzig house this is not good about me, but I'll just say it this way, that we would be sitting at the table eating supper, and Donna would say to our daughters, Julie and Karina, "Wait a minute. We're waiting for Dad to return. We're right here. We're right here." And then one of my mind, because she would see that I had gotten a text or something, and my mind went away. And she would remind me to come back to the table. And then my eyes would refocus on whoever was talking. And then I could hear them out. I'm thankful that she did that. I'm not thankful for how distracted I am. And what this is about, it's about being able to be present. But it's about being able to be present so that you can actually enjoy things for what they are. It doesn't matter if we're talking about enjoying food and activity, whether that's fishing or drawing or reading. And you know this about yourself. The fact is, when we believe that we can multitask to an unlimited degree, we wish we could. Unfortunately, divided attention oftentimes causes significant problems. So what I want to say here is that the stewarding, what we want to do is we want to practice being present and involved in something that allows your mind to quiet in on something for the purpose of enjoying a hobby, music, art, nature. It could be learning. You name it. I'm not trying to tell you what it has to be, but it's that you can quiet in on something and just enjoy. One of the most common things that happens in the United States today is that people believe that having their mind very distracted is calming. Okay? And so, for example, that's why, for example, that if somebody is just, I realize that when you scroll through news articles or somebody's just flipping channels or something of that nature, we're distracted from work. We're distracted from that other thing. But in terms of calming, in terms of our mind actually being engaged, see, that's a different thing. And so really, this is about focusing in on something to quiet ourselves and to enjoy. Facilitation comes out here where you help your spouse find time and resources for their thing. It's something that refreshes them. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that this has to be like you have to have 10 hours a day.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
Sorry. Sorry, Siri. Siri's having trouble hearing me. And now I'm distracted. Proved it. Unfortunately. The other thing is, we need to remember that this isn't about a lot of money. Guys, we generally want it to be about something that, you know, it's about the boat. You know, it's about the thing. And again, I'm not trying to say that it can't be. But remember this. Many times our solutions are to add complexity. We actually are trying to get to simplicity. And then joining. Practice being all there with your spouse by eliminating distractions and blocking out time. The other day it was in the last week. I was at home. Don and I were getting ready to eat. And I had my phone sitting next to my plate. And Donna, just very quietly, as she was getting some things ready, just reached over, grabbed the phone, didn't even say anything. All of a sudden, I noticed that my phone was on the other counter. It was away. I said, "Oh." And she said, "I would like to have a conversation with you. We're here together. It's just us." And you know what? I appreciated it. I don't like needing to be that reminded. I honestly don't. But the reality is that when I block out the time, it's really precious. And I bet it is for you. Let's go to relationships here. On the relationship end of things. Now, having connected relationships give us support and belonging that we give into and that we receive from. That's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful. God has designed us relationally. He's relational in the Trinity. Perfect unity and diversity in that unity. So it's not a surprise that relationships show up on this list. But I want you to think about some ways that you can tend these. Number one, stewarding. Take an inventory of your relationships and identify ones that you need to tend. You know, sometimes you're just going to notice it and you're going to go, "You know what? I haven't been checking in with my friend that's been a really important part of my life. Maybe for their sakes, maybe for yours." Or, "Hey, you know what? I really need to focus in on my relationship with this one child." Or, "I need to connect with that person at church or in my family." Well, the point is, just take an inventory of your relationships. We don't have unlimited time. Where we are intentional with our time is really important with the relationships. On the facilitation end, think about what your spouse's relational style is and figure out what they need right now. By the way, sometimes what they need is less of something, sometimes more of something. So let's say, for example, you have a situation where you are partially maybe you're being a caregiver for a family member, or you're very much in, heavily involved in this season of your life in parenting or in other kinds of ministry, whatever. And maybe what you need is actually some relational space to kind of back up. Okay. Other times it's, boy, I have not had a chance to be able to go out and have, I need some adult conversation. I need to talk with somebody else who actually can converse about something that understands me and what's going on in life. Okay? Lastly, on joining. It's very important I think this is a fascinating insight, and that is that most types of well-being, the other forms of PERMA, are amplified through relationships. So when we do those things together, they amplify. So I want you to use the, remember the first one was on positive emotions, and gratitude was one of them. So think about this. Note the difference between feeling gratitude for your spouse and expressing gratitude to your spouse. So you're in your office and you have a thought that you appreciate your spouse, or that you're really thankful that they did something, or you want to, that's great. Glad. That's good for you. It's good that you're having those thoughts. Better yet, you reach out and let them know. Okay? You reach out and let them know. And one of the things that research shows is, like, it's not just like this. It's not just, I have benefit for feeling gratitude. They feel benefit for feeling gratitude. You know what happens? When you express gratitude, then you get another ricochet, because you've expressed it to them, and then you get to see and feel the positive in that emotion of how they've experienced it, and it keeps that going. You know, one of the researchers that studies gratitude found that one of the things that helps people a lot when they are dealing with gratitude is going and telling people that they've been, of how they have been impacted by somebody else's life. Okay? I just want you to know what you've meant to me. You know, back when I started 10 years ago, when you did X, Y, and Z, I just want you to know what that meant to me. I want you to know what it means to me that you, when I was going through that hard time, you were there to do X, Y, and Z. Or that you modeled this to me, or that you took time in that. That by doing that, you've relationally joined and the whole system is lifted. Isn't that beautiful? Meaning. Just two more. We're coming into the end here. Meaning. It's belonging to and serving something bigger than ourselves. Now, obviously, for us as believers, we think about that, and we think about God's work. We think about building up God's kingdom. We think about churches. We think about, you know, missions. Okay? And definitely, that's where I want you to think related to this. This can be done in different ways, too. It doesn't have to be always directly spiritual in nature. But the concept of being a part of something bigger than ourselves is something that is so part of human DNA. Just, it's core to human beings that we need to be part of something bigger than ourselves. So what I want to ask you to do stewardship-wise is think about your walk with Christ. Think about what the next step in your walk with Christ and how to grow in it. Now, you're going to say, Ted, that's like, yeah, that's not that shocking. I'll tell you what's shocking is most people desire to grow, but they don't think about how to plant the seeds that will grow. So, for example, if somebody says, yeah, I'll back up and give you this example. I was at a conference, and there were 7,000 Christian counselors at the Opryland Hotel. And the speaker said this. He said, how many of you right now could go out and run a full marathon, 26.2 miles? And out of 7,000, about 20 hands went up. And he said, note those people. Those are truly the sick souls among us. That's what he said. And then he said, how many of you right now, if you went out and tried really, really hard, could run 26.2 miles? And about 25 hands went out. And then he said, how many of you right now, provided you wanted to, if you started training by walking and then jogging and working with a trainer and gradually extending and growing and working up to being able to run a mile and then eventually up to two over the course of 2 years, how many of you, provided you wanted to and you were disciplined to do it, how many of you could run a 26.2-mile marathon? 2/3 of the hands went up. Okay? Almost 5,000 hands went up. He said, that's the difference between training and trying. Most of us, when we think about this, we're like, oh, I wish I could do that. Oh, I wish I could know the Bible. Oh, I wish I... The question isn't about wish. We've got lots of wishes. The question is, what are the things that we will do that plant the small seeds, just a packet of seeds, and then water those seeds, and then till those seeds, so that 6 months from now, we're in a place that's more mature than we are today. So, facilitation is finding a way to support your spouse in something that they care about. Now, this one, I have to admit, you do have to watch out for. Because there have been times that I have said, you know what? I should go help Donna with something. And I'm feeling, you know, I'm thinking, hey, this is pretty good. I should go help Donna with something. And to which I say, hey, Donna, how can I help you? To which she says, why don't you help me with this photo album? To which I think, I have no desire to help you with that. You see, what happens is part of facilitation is genuinely being interested in helping your spouse succeed in what he or she is interested in. And so, some of the time, that's hard for us. Lastly, joining. Consider how the two of you serve together and find meaning in your walk with Christ, church, and ministry. You are different people. You weren't designed to be the same. You probably have different gifts and abilities, but remember, God brought you together to serve and honor Him. So just think about how do we do that together and just see the bigger picture in that. Lastly is achievement. Achievement is about being able to, the definition is to be able to gain mastery, to produce or participate in activities and purposes. This is very much tied to what happened in the book of Genesis when God gave Adam and Eve dominion. He gave them work. He gave them things to do. Now, it's important to remember that our work and our worth, we have to keep a good handle on, because sometimes we put all of our worth in our work, and when we can't do that anymore, then what happens to our worth? It tanks. Okay? But to be able to see that you have a purpose and that you have an important role, and I would say to be able to see yourself in the body of Christ as having a role. Again, it doesn't mean a voted on position. It doesn't mean that you have a title. That may be. But think about in stewarding, it's consider just a task or a project or goal that you've put aside. And I would even say that you may be avoiding. Okay? For some reason, maybe it's you feel insecure about it or you're not sure what to do. And knock it out. Do it. Make sure it's a worthy goal. Don't misunderstand me. But think about something that's been nagging at you and then do it and get it off your plate. Another one. Ask your spouse about their gifts or talents and help them to grow in their abilities. That when we do that, when we see that, And some of the time it's, maybe it's your spouse has wanted to learn how to play the piano. Maybe it's they need to figure out something for their work or in parenting or whatever. Help them to do that. And lastly, I want you to think about the joining. Think about yourselves as a team, as a couple, and how God uses your similarities and differences together. Donna and I were reflecting on some the other night. There's been some marriages recently and some people we know, and we were just thinking about, you know, what it was like for us in our early marriage and where we're at now. We were just thinking, like, wow, we've come a long way since we were it was kind of fun to think about. There were hard things we went through at different times and different things we wouldn't want to live through again. But there was also the sense of, we did it. We did it together. How we did it? By God's grace and our last fingernail sometimes. But it's really precious when we can do it together. Now, the take-home activity, it's in your booklet. What's that? It's on page 29, by the way, in your booklet. It's take-home activity, and it's for you to discuss the parts of the PERMA model. Okay? The positive emotions, the engagement, the relationships, the meaning, and the achievement. And then think about some of the ways that the Bible speaks to flourishing, the joy and the shalom and the reconciled relationships and those kind of things. And then break it into the stewarding, facilitating, and joining. And don't try to do it all at once. Don't try to do everything. In fact, just take a couple things. Think, what's one or two things that I'd like to work on in terms of stewarding? What's one or two things that I want to bring out the best in my spouse? And what's one or two things that we can do together? So my encouragement is, again, not to try to have it all figured out or feel like we're perfect, but to be intentional about leaning in. Because even as we go through seasons of surviving, we can also lean in to flourishing. And I think God wants to help us in that abundance. May you each one be blessed.
Thanks, Ted. Thanks so much. Good counsel and good encouragement for all of us. And I really want to just encourage in two different pieces. Did you catch the intentionality in everything that was talked about, in every point that was brought out, every example? There is an intentionality that takes place, right? That point of choice where we choose to turn toward and to be intentional in our relationship versus that natural tendency that we all can have to just go with what's going on. At least it's his wife that turns the phone over. I have a 1.5-year-old daughter who started to take my phone and pull it away from me, right? When I'm trying to spend time, or I'm supposed to be spending time with her, right? But we see how we can get pulled into these things, and yet the intentional opportunity is to turn back towards our marriage. And the last point is just to think about the seeds, right? This activity is not, you're going to see take-home activities for pretty much everything that we do here. There's going to be opportunities for further date nights. That's what they are. They're opportunities for further date nights and discussions to have, right? Don't try to cram them in and get it done. There's no extra credit for getting it all accomplished tonight. More so, have that mindset of planting a seed. One thing at a time. We're planting seeds. I love that example, right? The difference between trying and training, the difference between planting a seed and letting the fruit come versus just trying to knuckle it through. It's manageable. It's doable. So great things to think about, great things to spend time on. I'm going to transition here a little bit to logistics, okay? So I have a couple logistics here as we break away, because this is the last time we'll be all together tonight, okay? So tomorrow morning, I'll jump to the end and I'll come to the immediate. Tomorrow morning, we'll start up again. 8:30, the doors open. 9 o'clock, the first session will start here in the sanctuary. For those of you watching online, We have over 40 different churches watching online as of tonight, over 400 or 500 people, which is really thankful for that. For those of you watching online, 9 o'clock or so, a little bit before that, the video will start here in the sanctuary. Right now, we're going to go into breakouts. We have 4 different breakout sessions. You should have had something in your booklet that has a little bit of a card that says which breakouts you're in. They're on page 3 of your booklet. Flourishing Through Connection is in here, and all the rest of them are down in the Sunday school area. The other breakouts are all down that way. The ushers are going to dismiss those of you here in person in just a moment. There's a snack that you can go out there, you can pick up, you can enjoy that. We got about 15-minute transition time to socialize and fellowship, and then we're going to start the breakouts right at about 8 o'clock. And so if you're online, watching us online, this video will turn off here in just a little bit, and then in about 10 minutes, you're going to have an option of 2 of the breakouts. You can either come back here into the sanctuary and join us with Flourishing Through Connection, and that video will go live there on that same webpage, or you can join us in the Sunday School room for Flourishing While Serving. That's another option there for those of you online. And all the handouts, all these activities, all of that is available there for you on that webpage. And some of you I know online, you're watching it together with couples. And if you just want to take some time now and turn off the cameras and just sit around and talk and digest the information together, that's wonderful. There's a few questions there, some breakout activities that you can do online and further the learning that way too. One last note, and then I'll turn it over to the ushers. While you're mingling and while you're in the hallways here in person, you'll notice a couple of things there in the hallway. There's a resource table filled with a lot of books that we recommend, filled with a lot of handouts and different things to encourage you in multiple different areas. Handouts are free. Take them. You can take as many as you want. The books, you can just write the names down. There's a card there. You can kind of capture the title of ones that you would maybe want to look at or peruse further. But that's there. And then also on the other side, there is a donation table. You notice we don't ask for registration fees for here. We rely upon the donations of those of you coming and those of you watching online to help support the efforts in the ministry here in person and then at ACCFS. And so we appreciate you doing that. And online, there's a place where you can donate online on that webpage as well. So thank you for that. And thank you for time now. And I will turn it over to the ushers to dismiss. And we'll see you at breakouts in about 10 minutes or so. Mm-hmm.